Roll.
We are.
It's beautiful Thursday night.
Sure.
Okay. We ready to go?
We're running off the inside. For sure.
All right, so we'll start on meeting now. Start with introduction. I'm John Lemon, I'm a co-chair and I live in Hidden Springs.
Chris Owens, proud member of Robinwood.
Diana Laverty, proud member, Cascade Seven, Tanner Basin.
Counselor Bonington, are you there?
Yes, but I'm wondering if I sound funny.
You sound just great.
You sound.
Fantastic. Hello, everyone.
You can tell them that.
Megan Bigjohn, part of our staff. I was like, who am I? Am I a state?
Yep, see.
Karen Kellman, I'm a board member.
And then it stops with the board members at that for me to them to roll. Just so you want to call that part. For the one we open our meeting.
Yes, so we have to approve today's agenda.
To approve.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Summary notes, do we have summary notes?
They were turned in. Yes, Tara was made sure to get them sent to you all. Yeah.
I must have read them, I just don't.
We got others too. We got them.
Okay, everybody okay with those?
Yep.
All those in favor? Okay. Community comments, we got some people here from the community, how was it going to do?
Yeah.
Yep, we should have grabbed the sheet from the Tara's. Oh, there's next one on the library. There.
So for community members that haven't been here before, you get 3 minutes.
And then the hook.
Okay.
All right, we have it.
And then for those who are standing, I don't want this to come off weird, but when we get to our meeting, it's not allowed to have interjection from the community comments into the meeting. It's part of the, I don't want to say policy, that's how the meetings are run. So if you don't want to have somebody start and we have to feel awkwardly asked to stop during our meetings, so I just wanted to throw that out there.
So most people come, say their stuff in the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to stay. But just know it's part.
Stay.
Okay.
Yeah, more than welcome. So I'll take a vote, Tara's not here. Is it Jan? Dan?
Dan.
Dan, would you like to go? I'll just go order of how everybody signs out.
No. Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Dan Laverty. I live in the Tanner Basin community and have lived in the same house, close to the park for about 25 years. And the park actually was not there when we moved in. Pickleball noise has been a problem both in West Lynn and nationally, as most of you probably know. The repetitive and jarring noise created by the hard paddle and the hard ball can be not only annoying and a disturbance to our quality of life, but has been associated with some chronic health problems, especially when courts are placed too close to them. The Skyline pickleball courts in West Lynn were closed by the city council in 2020 because of excessive noise. We first began working on limiting the excessive noise from the pickleball courts at Tanner Creek Park in 2025 years. I presented to the city council a petition signed by over 75 neighbors in the Tanner Creek Park area, all of whom wanted control over the overwhelming pickleball. The initial maneuver of installing an acoustic fence did little to reduce noise. Ultimately, with much back and forth and finally consensus, it was decided to decrease the total number of pickleball courts at Tanner Creek Park from 4 to 2. With this intervention, now over 2 years ago, the noise is mostly at a bearable. Any increase in the number of courts will again significantly increase the noise level that the Tanner Basin community has. As you know, the city of Lake Oswego had a similar issue at George Roger Park and ultimately closed all 6 pickleball courts in 2023, despite attempts for compromise, including the installation of an acoustic barrier. I would strongly encourage that we continue the current policy of a limit of 2 pickleball courts at Tanner Creek. Frankly, we would prefer that all pickleball courts at Tanner Creek be closed, but agree with the previous difficult decision, which is a tolerable compromise. If we were to reopen the topic for discussion, we would push strongly for complete removal of all pickleball courts at Tanner Creek, given the long history of noise complaints from our local community and across the nation. Finally, we would note that the acoustic barrier at Tanner Creek Park has multiple holes and tears and is needed to in need of either maintenance or replacement, if pickleball is to continue in Tanner Creek Park. And just as a side, there was a comment about a bond from 2018 that was passed by the city of Westland. There's no mention of Tanner Creek. No, well, I read through the whole thing. It's very long. It's tedious. It's all economics and numbers. There's nothing in it about any of that. So anyway, just that's my perspective. It took a long time, very difficult. City Council, I'm sure, does not want to deal with this again. I can tell you it was unpleasant the first time around. Honestly, I don't think it's fair.
Next on the list is Mark. You guys want to go separately or together, however you want to do it.
I can't speak.
Okay.
I can't. My name is Mark Highfield. It's my wife, Janine. We live adjacent to Tanner Creek Park. And I'm presuming the reason we're here today is because I've been informed that a petition has been prepared. And it's either been submitted or it's about to be submitted to request that the city raise the number of pickleball courts on the tennis court in Tanner Creek Park from 2 to 4. It's a little bit of background. A couple of years ago, I don't know how many of you were involved in the process, but we were very involved in it. Sure, you don't want to hear about pickleball again, but you're going to. But about 2 years ago, as Dan says, a petition was filed to set some rules and guidelines regarding play there. Because frankly, after that point, it was basically pickleball free for all. I mean, on most weekends and a lot of days, it would be 8 courts going at the same time. Even though there's a couple of nets, they bring in their own temporary nets and there'd be 8 games going on. It was crazy. It was craziness. So we went through a process, petition the city, meeting with the Parks and Recreation Committee, which submitted, I presume submitted some recommendations to the city council. We met with them there and met on numerous occasions. I was there testifying at least 3 times, and there was concerted effort and thought giving to coming up with some rules or guidelines which would take care of this problem. It wasn't just a matter of play, it was also a matter of noise. Not just in the pickleball play, but you can imagine if you've got 8 games going on, 4 people in each game, that's a lot of people over there screaming and yelling and playing pickleball. So we engaged in this process. I'll have to say that during the whole process of submitting this petition to the city, majority of the people who were behind this are people who did not want any pickleball in those courts. I recall maybe one time somebody associated with pickleball having anything to say about it. But after some give and take, as Dan mentioned, ultimately it was decided that there would be just 2 courts for play. And the way that was going to be enforced, and one of the provisions behind it was that people were not allowed to bring their own nets. So there's a sign prominently placed by the doorway at the tennis court that says 2 games at a time, cannot bring in your own nets for additional play. And but that rule has been consistently and continually eroded to the point where the Westland Police Department has been called out to enforce the rule, and they in fact have done it. And they don't have to do that either, but a rule is a rule. And a couple of times when I've tried to engage in conversation, didn't go over too well. Probably because I said, can't you read the sign? But in any event, they did enforce the rule, and it's been, and you know, the 2 courts are tolerable. And this wasn't just some haphazard thing that happened. It was a process that we all went through to come up with what was fair and equitable to the neighbors, the people who live there, and to people who wanted to play pickleball. And it's worked out just fine. There has not been any substantial change in the last 2 years that I can think of that would require the city to engage in another dissertation about whether or not we're going to increase this to 4 courts. And finally, my big concern is if you increase it to 4, we're right back to 8. Reason we're here to begin with, because they've shown people play there. Not everybody, but the people have shown there that, you know, to get away with it, they're going to do it. And so that's why we're here to encourage you not to consider the petition, but if so, we're opposed to it. Providing with all the information you need to make a recent decision. Thanks.
Can I ask a question? Is it organized groups or is it just, let's go play pickleball today?
Well, that was part of, from my perspective, part of the problem initially is that there was a group, a pickleball group that would reserve blocks of time. I think it was on Wednesday evenings and on Saturday mornings, and that when those blocks of time were reserved, you know, all the courts would be full, we'd be standing around, it was quite a party. And part of the deal with just the two courts was the reservation system was also created. So that's not going on now. I understand that's something that's going to be asked for.
Do you want a few minutes to talk to?
I'm sure John's was running, so I just have a list. Basically the same thing, but so I'm Jane Highfield, and I purchased my home in 1999 on Chalandronic, which is along the edge of Tanner Creek Park, approximately 150 feet away from the pickleball courts. I signed a petition to restrict pickleball play at Tanner Creek Park because of the noise we experience daily from inside and outside of our home. It was especially frustrating while trying to enjoy our backyard. We attended a Parks and Recreation meeting first and at least three city council meetings to address this issue and explain our concerns. After careful review and consideration, the city council installed a mitigation fence, reduced the number of courts to two from four, eliminated the ability to make reservations to play pickleball online, and prohibited anyone from bringing their own nets onto the courts, and a sign is on the fence regarding that now. We have decided to request the pickleball courts be removed entirely because of the recent action at George Rogers Park in Lake Oswego to close the pickleball courts and the closure of the pickleball courts entirely at Skyline and to be returned to their originally intended use of tennis. The city council decided to implement the above restrictions and allow two pickleball courts. However, President Baumgartner stated that if the measures put in place did not reduce the noise enough, she was willing to close them. I believe that if there are only two pickleball courts and this is enforced, the noise could be kept to a minimum. However, on Father's Day, people brought in their own nets and there were many people playing pickleball, not just two courts. Nothing has changed to warrant adding more pickleball courts to Tanner Creek Park. My husband and I were out walking this week when we were approached at home. It was kind of a coincidence. And he asked us if we were pickleball players. We told him we were actually the people that live very close to the courts and how the noise impacts our everyday life. He informed us that if you live next to a park, you have to expect the noise. I told him I moved along before the park is there and the tennis courts were never a problem. Pickleball is fairly new and the noise has been proven to be too loud to be next to homes. You see report after report about this issue. Tom's response to me was that we need to move. City Council was very gracious to the pickleball players, allowing them to continue to play at Tanner Creek. Instead of being grateful, they are doubling down, coming back, and demanding more courts, despite the knowledge how this impacts people living in their homes next to the noise on a daily basis. This could most definitely impact the sale of our home in the future if more pickleball courts are allowed at Tanner Creek Park. And I respectfully request that the pickleball courts remain the same when there is a solution for enforcing no nets policy. Thank you.
Next on this is Tom.
Yes, I'm Tom Meyer. I am the vice president of the Barbara Crescent Neighborhood Association, newly formed. I'm sorry that you people are experiencing these problems, but technology of the sport is changing, the paddles are changing, the balls are changing. And so things have changed. And so I did adopt a petition that over 215 people signed this petition. I believe 1,050 viewed the petition and 215 signed the petition. I'm going to read the summary. Now, this is the background context. City manager solicited public feedback on the Parks Department. There's at a recent City Hall meeting emphasizing the importance of polling to avoid hasty staff only decisions. Central controversy, Mr. Williams' unilateral decision to remove the two pickleball courts from Tanner Creek Park without consulting key stakeholders or collecting objective data. That's the problem. The community response of concerns. Mr. Williams met privately with two residents who opposed the courts but did not engage the broader pickleball community, West Lynn and Klamath clubs. No decibel readings were taken despite the prior installation of the sonic curtain meant to reduce. As of July 9th, the residents signed a petition closing the mobile, citing unfairness, lack of transparency, and a breach of the democratic process outlined in the 2018 bill bond, $250,000, which was allocated for improvements at Tanner Creek Park. The petition garnered over 1,050 views and 215 verified signatures, demonstrating widespread community support. I mean, this trumps 75 submitted in support of the movement. 300%. Donations made to change.org, which is where the petition resides, further highlight the community's commitment to this cause. Facility and funding issues. The removal contradicts approved park development plans backed by taxpayer dollars and system development charges. Residents find the sonic curtains unsightly and effective, calling for both its removal and the restoration of the courts. Supporting testimony, Debbie Wong, she sent an email to the board. I would hope that one of you would read that into the public record that she requested. She lives across the street from the courts and supports restoring them. She has submitted her testimony to the Parks Department and asked it to return to the public record. She notes noise has been significantly mitigated since the curtain was installed. Emphasizes that pickleball brings health.
Seriously. You're 3 months ago.
And I was just going to say, Tom, I don't remember seeing any letter from somebody to bring the public records. Do you want to ask for this one again? So just, I haven't received anything, but Tara, it would have gone to Tara.
I sent it as an attachment.
Oh, I thought you said somebody else did.
Okay. Yeah, she did. But I sent it as an attachment to the email that I sent to the board today.
Okay.
A couple hours ago.
Okay. All right, thank you.
One more.
Paul?
Yeah, well, I'm an interested resident. I live in Cascade Summit, and I'm on the HOA board, and I still am, and I supported this effort when the original residents did their petition. I'm just here in support of their cause. I believe there it was a very effective compromise that the city manager put in place, and there are lots of options for pickleball. There's lots of private clubs indoors now that people could play. So I don't think that's the issue, but I think it's a very reasonable thing in terms of the current situation.
Thank you. I might just say I've been on the board for a long time. When the first pickleball stuff came about, I remember going up the skyline and sitting in people's backyards and listening to what I was like.
Me too.
And we also did the same thing when you're at Tanner Creek. I think we were all supportive of wiping out the pickleball at Skyline. And to be honest, the board was supportive of getting rid of the stuff Tanner Creek too. So that's not what happened. But I can't imagine that, I tell you for a fact, there's no way I would support increasing the pickleball. That wouldn't bother me at all. So.
Yeah, I'll just say, I think that there was quite a bit of effort to negotiate something that will work for the majority of the people. But we always appreciate any comments and really thankful for people's time to come and make their points. And I'm sorry, I'm late. I'm Vicki. I'm the other chair. But are there any other community comments? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have you already done the city council update?
No, that's all right.
So, Councilor Byington, do you have an update? You may. I'll text.
Okay. He was worried about us, but we could hear.
We heard him initially. He's muted.
Yeah,
he
stepped away.
He might have stepped away.
Nope, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering why none of you were reacting to what I was saying. Hello, everyone. It is lovely to see you. I'm sorry I can't be there. I have two very sick dogs, and you don't want to know more than that.
Is there any way you can come on camera? Are you in a situation?
Oh.
You can come? Okay.
I don't have my camera. That is a problem.
All right, there you go.
Sorry, something happened, you know. So yeah, we did pass the budget, as I had told you guys about at the last meeting. There was not a lot to discuss there because there's not a lot of money to go around in the first place, as we know. So that was pretty straightforward. We then last week though began discussing future needs, things we really can't afford, situations that we need to address, things we'd like to be able to provide but can't. So we opened up that discussion finally on Monday after a lot of preparation and a lot of research into it. And that's going to be a long-term process. We'll see how that goes, but we'll definitely look forward to involving the advisory groups in that. What else? Yeah, I think that's pretty much the most relevant thing. That's going to be a big deal. That's going to take up a lot of the discussion for the next couple of months. So I hope it goes well.
Counselor, quick question. This is Vicki. Does the city council have a message to all of the boards just regarding the budget shortfalls to focus on, let's focus on sustaining what we have. Let's really, really be tight around new requests or special interests or, is there a council message providing guidance that we can lean on moving forward?
No, I don't think anyone needs to worry about anything quite yet. The projected shortfalls would still be a couple years away, and that would be a worst case scenario if a number of things don't change. This isn't the first time this has happened, and it's usually resolved itself through various economic changes. But this is the largest projected one that I guess anyone's ever seen. So for now, everything's fine. We're already running as lean as any city possibly could. As we know, it's completely crazy what staff are able to pull off with the resources they have, doing 3 jobs each sometimes. But for now, things are okay. Nothing to worry about. Obviously, if there's any extravagant requests, I don't think those are going to go very far. But yeah.
Great. Any other questions for counselor or liaison or the city council in general?
Did you talk about the proclamation?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, that's my next step.
No, you can go for it. Absolutely.
No, you can go ahead. That's your menu item.
Yeah, definitely can go ahead and do that. It's easy to do.
Me?
I can definitely take it. No worries. It's not going to be super fancy.
Megan has some stuff.
Yes.
And yes, I can see you all.
So. Hopefully I get my slideshow working correctly.
It's me.
Yes, there you are. You're right there.
Can you see the screen? Okay, good. Shared screen.
Yes, the next. Well, thank you for the 7 Stacy. Thank you for coming to the council meeting where the council declared July Parks and Recreation Month. I'm going to read a little something just because it's written nicely. Let's put it together. So the theme for this year is we're part of National Parks and Recreation, and the theme this year is Build Together, Play Together. Parks and Recreation Month is a national observance held every July to celebrate and highlight the vital roles that parks and recreation programs and professionals can manage them in building strong, vibrant, resilient communities. Established in 1985, the National Recreation Parks Association recognizes the month and the importance of parks for health, wellness, social connection, and quality of life across the United States. Cities around put on activities, and all the activities we do, we consider as all of our concerts and all of the fair, the things that we put on. So I mean, it's special for the month. But what my goal is over the next few years is to really amplify what the crews are doing and being able to get them the recognition for all that they are doing. So this is our first group photo we've had in quite a while. And so there we are as a team. There's your full entire department, including Jen being photoshopped in. That is our
This is our, just our rec staff summer who come and run all of our summer camps. That doesn't include the eight seasonals that we have for the park side of it. But this group actually runs the youth camps that are from age 4 up to, I think, 13. And there's, so there's Fun in the Sun, there's Mini Fun in the Sun, and there's a new art and nature camp that was put on. Laura, who is in halftime FTE, is Laura even in this picture? She is not. Oh, right here. This is Laura. She grew up going to our camps like Alyssa, who you met earlier. And she runs all that program as a half FTE.
Yes.
So it is quite amazing. And she's really brought that to head. There's training, there's weekly meetings. She's really, again, what they're doing is they're raising this group of youth who are high school and college students to become the next generation, right? It's pretty awesome. And now we just have fun looking at the things that the crews have been building over time. These are definitely some older pictures. Thomas driving the float.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Somebody asked what park that was.
Oh, park. You know what? I actually don't know. And I'll tell you, I have to say, there's a lot of younger folks in here. And look at the logo.
Yeah.
And there's Jen there. Back a long time ago, I didn't put this together. Isn't that like crazy? Thomas.
Diane.
Oscar looking like he's a Sasquatch doing some work. Nate using all of his right PPE to do all of his work there.
Because he has.
Jeremiah, who is also our only building maintenance person who does all of our facilities, comes and helps with parks, and the parks come and helps him when they need. So this is he and Mike Perkins building the staircase.
Is that Palomino?
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. No, that's too steep for Palomino. Yeah.
Too wide.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a truck there, so you're able to get something close to. This is a list. I took this up her last year. As we were, those are all electrical cords for cleaning up after the concerts. That's what we do at the end of the night. And Thomas again, we were trying to expand this. And then, of course, the youth we work with and the volunteers throughout. So we were hoping to be able to. Stop sharing. There we go. We're hoping to build on that and be able to really bring the staff up to show who they are and what they do in the parks and how important it is, because that's where you get that thrive for what you do for your work, and the community gets to see it, and it's good to feel like pride. So we're working on it, little baby steps. Alyssa, who also does the events that you met, she does also our social media and promotion, so it's quite a lot to do, especially with the fair happening right now. Yeah. Yeah. So that's our little celebration of Parks and Recreation. Thanks for enjoying.
Isn't there more to celebrate though too? Because didn't the Adult Community Center get recognized?
So the Adult Community Center did get recognized, I think, in February. They were chosen out of the tidings, out of the top rated at the ECCs in the local area. And so Tara and I bought the plaque to go along with it to celebrate the Adult Community Center. Just such a fabulous site and what they do there. And the community that's there is just so ingrained in it. It's like a second home.
Yep.
It's been such great. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, that was exciting.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah.
Well, we'd love it if you could convey to all of the staff all of our appreciation for everything they did and that we're really proud of them.
That would be awesome. We have to get to know and be able to help spur them on with what they're already doing and empower them.
I feel like, it's a personal observation, I feel like they, from years past, they're a lot more engaged, you know, like before they used to just do the thing, not look up, get trash cans. And now, you know, they're like, oh, hey, how are you? And, you know, they want to engage the community, which is nice.
Well, yeah. I shared with you feedback from one of the seasonals who's doing some work for me, who talked all the shit. He didn't know I knew Megan. It's like, Megan's so amazing. This only time I've been welcome, and she really asked me about what I thought. So I think when a person is engaged, they're more.
I feel they're getting there.
Yeah, they're definitely. Well, and again, for so many years they were building and doing a lot of projects, and now we're really getting back to taking care.
Okay. So, any other questions or comments about Parks Month? Nope. We're lucky. You went to the Parks
excuse me, department and projects update, Nathan?
Sure, it's really minimal right now because there's a lot going on, but the fair has been, and getting everybody ready for summer has been a very big thing to be able to watch. The first year I got here, there was a lot of people that were new in the role, even though we had a small staff. So there's a lot of figuring out even for processes, and then this year, they're running smooth. It's not that they weren't before, but everybody was kind of shifting into where their key area focus and strengths were. So it's been going really well, but it is impressive to watch, even from my seat, to watch what they're doing on a daily basis. The park staff have been doing quite a bit of work of, as I mentioned, they have been given assigned areas, but that hasn't fully panned out just because of timing. People have been off and just trying to transition into summer. But what has been great is the cohesiveness of working on parks. We've gotten, I think there's 5 or 6 parks that had not received any mulch over the last few years, or even longer. We got those down to be able to help with our weed suppression and moisture retention. And so what areas that we worked on last year, we didn't get this year because we're trying to spread it out because it's going to help us our overall maintenance areas. We're already looking at planting areas that are open beds that are just vacant, that plants are there and died. So it'll help, you know, increase either we can make them pollinator beds, but we'll reduce our overall maintenance and long-term and add joy to those being in the park. So splash pads, again, have been a huge, I think I mentioned last week, that has been a key focus of making sure those are up and running. And then we're starting to get into some of our maintenance projects. I know one that I talked with Tom about is seeing the courts resurface that we've got the budget to do now. So we're starting to work through that to get those done. We'd love to have done it before the season started, but we're here and we're going to get those going. With the budget passing, you'll see when we've looked at it before, it's a lot of the long-term maintenance things, the deferred maintenance that I'm really focusing on and safety issues. There's a few larger projects like the non-motorized boat launch that was included that we'll be meeting with Metro to talk about leveraging some of the funding that we have with them, as well as SDCs, and then look for grant opportunities with the Marine Board. So I'll have more on those as I move through as we get to our next meeting in September, because we'll have dove into that. So I'm working with Jen Barboa on the park staff and working with Jeremiah, because I have all the facility projects too. So I'll be working on those. And then in addition, another thing that's coming up is the revision from the tree code. I ended up having to push that back until September because of the neighborhood president's meetings to be able, I sent that out for them to share and then kind of working through some of their engagement activities as well. So.
Cool.
I think there's more, but that's kind of a highlight. There's a lot. It's a lot. So yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at. So there'll be more and we'll be able to start talking about those projects.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments from the board regarding projects or any observations that you've had being out and about?
I'm just wondering on the board, so you wait for the meeting with the presidents, is that to go over the tree codes we can first to kind of get input?
If they have any input, okay. Some have reached out and some haven't. Yeah. And so it was just an initial, because it's just technical updates we're looking for. It's not changing the intent of the code. So I wanted to get any feedback I can. I've had the neighborhood association reach out and we'll land my reach out so far. But their presidents have all been notified, the sustainability advisory board, as well as that comment, as well as to you all too. So. And then we'll go back to council for a work session with what we heard and just, you know, they may have questions. So yeah. It's I think the overall tree code needs to overhaul at some point in time, but this was just to make it almost to get it functional with for some of the things that aren't clear to the community or to us as progress.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a baby step, but I'm hoping it'll be a huge improvement. And currently I'm working on trying to get an online application together through Citizen Serve. Working just even still working with the other departments on how we review their design plan, the plans that are submitted. We have that too, so that our list doesn't look bad. So that was some meetings today. So it's quite of a big task, but we'll keep working through it. It's just at least to make it better for the community so they know clearly what's approved and why it's approved. And yeah, you know, it's really kind of gray or anything.
Okay. So can I apologize? I skipped number 5. Policy stuff. I don't know.
Well, I wonder why you want to talk about that.
I'm watching a huge meeting all day long downtown. It's like a race event here. I apologize.
No, and it's okay. I apologize that this is, I've always been like delayed in getting these to you. And so, what had happened with this, of course, is with me getting distracted and busy. At our last meeting, as a reminder, and I made the note that I had originally planned on putting our kind of our three main areas of reservations or permitting together. And as I was doing it, it started to get more confusing because you have to read them all. They're very individualized and some of them tied together. So after I put it together, I separated it back out. And what I did, I'll pull this up here if I can get it to work right. This Tara left me in a good space to look at. This is where Tuesday at 6. That's not the most updated one. I did some more tweaking before I came in. No, this has all of my notes. No, this isn't the right one. But I can tell you what comments I made and what I had to be done. Kevin, can you see that?
No, I can't.
See, I'm gonna try one more time to share, but I may not get it right. So if I don't, it's okay. I made paper copies too. If that happens, gotcha. There we go. And I know we're not going through this all piece by piece because we've done that work already, but what I did realize, as I mentioned, clarifying, I could not get settled on a title. It just all felt muddy, whether it was commercial, private business. Well, now I'm not sharing anything.
Do you want your word instead of PowerPoint?
Well, it's not in a PowerPoint, it's right here. It's in a word. Let me try one more time. Maybe did more updates, but it's not sharing. Let's see, we're getting. Oh, I see. See, Vicky, she's the pro on this. Okay, let me minimize this. So, what I wanted to talk with you guys about primarily, oh, see, Tara didn't put the updated one in. So this isn't going to help right now. So I did bring copies. Here's on the top of the board members. So the main, sorry about that. That was my bad. I think that's not Tara. I just updated one or just one. Yes. So when you open my. So what I did do in the main key for your review, and again, we've got what we need to move forward for this fall. But if the part I realized that commercial use and private use, I ended up Googling it and looking at other policies, they really are two separate things. Yeah. And I think that's where we were getting stuck. They could be applied similarly, but they are definitely different. Commercial obviously is for selling to somebody at the moment for point of sale, and private business use would be something along the lines of somebody using the park for the business, right? And so I just used these examples of what I had found, and it all of a sudden kind of became clear in my head. And so then as I was working through it, what Tara caught when she had her second review on it too, was that trying to specify commercial and private business use for the whole document. And so what I was thinking of before the meeting is that if I, you know, when you do like Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, you put parentheses PRAB, I thought about changing, you know, commercial and private business use and the parentheses business. So all the way through, we're talking about business and we're applying both the commercial and the private together. So you're not writing all three and four words the whole way through. That was a change that I had added in there. Another one that was coming to mind that Tara and I were vetting through. As you flip through, so the first page, it's just the business use portion of that we spoke of, the commercial and private. And then considering switching it. Then I started adding the private business and I realized this is too much. So that's just an edit where Tara had caught it and Anne. Please interrupt me. I'm just going to go through the definitions, but anybody interrupt me at any moment. All right. The definitions of the two are as listed, and feel free to read those if you haven't had a chance. I'll give a second. So you notice I had a comment next to for the examples for the business, private business use. I put a comment in there. Most cities and both use commercial use policies and activities as organized by business or vendor, not purely recreational, personal, and potential impacts to public use park. And so I didn't know if I should spell that out further. It's kind of, that is said elsewhere, but it's kind of a note to myself to think, should I include that? You know, a networking, it could be if somebody was meeting clients in the park, you know, and doing workshops for, I'm sorry, Mr. Real Estate Agent, but you know, like, say you were doing something there, is that something that would be tied into that or not?
You're talking about this comment.
Yeah, that was my own comment.
Made a comment on my own comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, all false in here. Private business use. So when I got to that, I was wondering, where would a nonprofit fit into?
That doesn't fit here at all.
Where would it?
A nonprofit would just do regular shelter reservations, and there's a master fee schedule for that, so that's already tied in there.
Okay.
Vicky, did, if somebody had asked your question that you had asked me on email today, I thought it was a really good question. Is it okay to throw it out? Or you can ask it if you. I gave you an answer. Vicky had asked if there was.
Sorry.
We're separated by a few decades. Stacy had asked if there would be any consideration for giving discounts for volunteers or city staff, and what I had written back to Stacy was the definition of volunteer for city would be very difficult to define. It's not something that we can look into, but we already do give discounts to our nonprofit organizations. And then for city staff, we have to be careful about taxable benefits, what we do. So currently we don't do those or offer those. We would, city staff would be different. Volunteers, we do a nonprofit. But we have so many volunteers throughout the city that it would be hard to be able to manage that.
So when I got your answer back, so nonprofits get a discount on?
They do on adult community center and on facilities themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they show proof that they're not.
They, right now, they're currently partners in most cases with us. And then if somebody would like to have a fee waived, they can email the city manager to have it waived. So, yeah.
And what I was mostly interested in was employees and staff maybe getting a discount. And I wasn't thinking anything big. I was thinking like 10% or something. It's too sticky.
I have to check that, but it does get a little bit difficult to manage. Yeah. Yeah.
For staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can ask though, definitely.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's a threshold. I don't think it is.
And this would like one or two reservations by city staff a year.
But maybe if there was a discount.
Yeah. But it's something we can consider for future.
Yeah. My concern is the fees are substantial. And for the employees, that might be a barrier.
Right. Right. So. Well, and the thing is, any place can be used in a park for without a rental. You can still reserve it first come, first served, too.
If they don't have a shelter.
No, a shelter. If there's no reservation, it's first come, first served.
Right.
So we post.
But also summer, too.
No, but I mean, that's it's another option, too. But yeah, no, I love that you're advocating for us.
I
really appreciate it. And I'm not saying no to it, but it's another thing we're having to work on. Just the policy of.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep it open.
Yeah.
I mean, people that work at Macy's get a discount.
Yeah. Well, and that's where taxpayer dollars is another. Yeah.
And it becomes an HR thing.
That's what I, that's the best part I have to figure out. But I wrote it down as a note, so I did.
Me too. I appreciate being taken seriously.
I don't know if that's
I'm sure it's in here. My eyes are not being this. I'm sorry.
Even with glasses.
She looks small.
Oh.
Sorry, can I just ask?
Bringing up nonprofits.
Yeah.
A nonprofit can be wonderful. Business, because nonprofits collect money. I mean,
there's fundraising policy too on that as well. So it's something we should look into.
But
just because a business is structured as a non-for-profit,
doesn't mean they don't collect revenue and that they don't sell stuff.
Right.
So this does include, it does cover, it's like, well, I'm a not-for-profit, so this doesn't apply to me. This does apply to, if I'm in a park selling and I'm selling something, I'm collecting money or something. Maybe I'm there making balloons and I'm selling my balloons or, you know, whatever it is.
T-shirts.
I'm running a class and I'm charging tuition. If I'm there collecting money for what I'm doing, it should.
That's private business use.
That's private business use. I just.
You're right.
I want to make sure that whether it says in here, whether it's structured as a not-for-profit or profit.
Well, the last line on the first page does have a rec under private business use.
Yeah.
Offer or allow for commercial use, but may imply non-public or non-sales driven use.
Yeah.
You're saying even if it's sales, but it's technically the tax purpose of the nonprofit.
Yeah, I just want to close the little wiggle room. It's like, I'm a not-for-profit. This doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about that. So you brought up, oh, yeah, there's a lower.
Well, like Lions Club sells burgers and they sell burgers and like with us, but they're in partnership with us, right? So they're selling burgers at an event like at our Earth Day. And they sell those there as a nonprofit.
The key is, you know, it's either a burden on the public or parks or its benefit too. And that rather than who's doing it, it's the impact that we're interested in. So I think, you know, again, if you've got the Lions Club setting up a tent to flip burgers and sell the burgers, they're not for profit, but it's the same. And I would argue that's not private business use, that's commercial.
That's good. Right, exactly. Because you're selling to the public, catering for that.
Yeah.
And them having that there in the crowds and park and so forth could potentially impact.
Correct.
So that's why you're regulating in the first place.
Yes. That's, and the, just really quickly, I keep like Lions Club is partnering with us at an event that we're hosting. The Boy Scouts are selling trees and they go through a permit process for profit for theirs, but there's a process for that, which is what entail. And once they do the permitting, they reach out, they, you know, all of that. And then their fee, I don't know this, but they could have their fee waived if so chosen by going to the city manager. They may already have a fee waived. I don't know that, but you know what I mean? There's that piece, but that's the thing. It's like, so that is a prime example of what you just said, selling to the public.
So I hate to muddy that, but
just go for it.
Lions Club collects money and then they have almost 100%. They turn it back into money into volunteer groups.
But see, we're looking at the impact on the park, and the idea of this is to regulate things so that it doesn't interfere with general public use of the park. And so it's putting guidelines and so forth.
Oh yeah, I see where you're going.
Yeah. What they do with the money, you know, put it in their pocket or disperse it to the poor, it should be immaterial for this purpose.
And I think when you look at it, it's always the definition that came over, you helped solidify it in my head, even though I was going backwards. If somebody was a nonprofit who is charging for an individual use, that's private business. If they're doing commercial and they're selling whatever widget out to the public, that's the commercial side of it. And I think everything is covered within.
Got it.
Thank you.
No, that took a group to get through that.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Stacy. Stacy, you got taken seriously. We're going to mark the state down.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to toss in here, and this was, I want you to mull this over, and I know we've talked about this policy, but this is my first policy going through with you all, so the next one should hopefully go a little bit quicker. There was, when Tara and I were reading this, the one thing that we kind of kept going through is that we want on a standard basis, or not want, but what this group had talked about is ongoing, ever-evolving a reservation. So me operating my yoga studio out of various Amtrak or at like St. Paul Lambert every weekend and essentially making that my brick and mortar. I looked up some language. So again, we have ways of giving exceptions, right? Down to earth, we have an agreement, at least the thing with it. It's a different one, right? But it's like in general, in our intentions, that we'd like to not have ongoing, repeated weekly use of the park again, because this impacts keeping it generally for the public. And so what I wrote in there on the very last page, business activities are permitted. And now I'm not sold on this language, right? So this is like the very last page. And this is one why I think you may not give me an answer today on approving this. You may want to mull this over, because I was just working on this today and I'm still thinking about it. Business activities are permitted only at one time or short-term basis, not for ongoing weekly reservations. This ensures fair and equitable access, allowing multiple community members or organizations the opportunity to rent the space. So that's really the intent of it, right? It's not to say, oh, there is the brick and mortar thing, but that's really not it. The intent is, what is the intent of the park to keep it open to the public?
I think you could just say business activities are permitted, or permits are issued for single events, not for ongoing weekly.
Yeah, right.
And that is, all right, if I want to do this every weekend, I got to put in 52 of these things.
Right. And we would probably deny it at that point based on the other use going.
Yeah.
Or like, somebody might have, like, for example, I'm going to use AWOL, they're part of us, to say that they've learned and they wanted to reserve. They do, like 2 or 3 weekends and then they're done, kind of, but that's where, we would want to figure out which times where that may make sense. And we have, like, a facility right now, we have a church that's there. And we wouldn't necessarily, that we can have those times for the exception when it meets the criteria for the best intent for the park. So that was kind of what I was thinking with that, but I didn't want it to be like, no, and not, but the goal is, the intent is to keep it open to the public as much as possible and for community shared use.
Unless it was something that everybody wanted and they did a lease and it was a different.
And that could be a one-off, right? That was working through council, right? And that, that, yes, but that's a possibility where that could potentially be presented. And down the road, for a one-time case, I don't know that any of them be able to open up any other facility or location for that for anything else further. I mean, honestly, just when you look at what the use is and the need and the space and amenities. So, but yes, that could be something where we could look into it. But the goal of the intent of this is that we're short-term rental, single rental, if you were to have, like, say somebody was private domain affair, say it was a private organization, it would be, over to a multi-day event that's going to be private to public. But you know what I mean? That gives that a little bit of openness, but the intent is to be for a single use. So
would you feel like on this whole form, you need to explain in a way like the second supporting sentence where you go on and say, just ensures parents who want to have full access? Do you feel like you need to include that? Because Chris's was much shorter and succinct, sticking to what was allowed. But I don't know if it's beneficial to do a little explanation how you did after.
Well, I did a little bit of research on them. I did that for that reason, that people weren't thinking that we were trying to, like, no, we're X, you don't want so and so here, and we're wanting, I was trying to, like, that's really the intent of it. And so it probably is overdone.
Well, but it might save you.
Well, that's what I thought.
Contact. Oh, but da, da, da.
Well, they know what the intent, that to me, that's right. Appropriate.
And then you're stating, yes.
Yeah. Okay, but I think you're in that. And I was wondering also, because Chris and Todd had really good help on the intro paragraph.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that should even go up to the top of the paragraph in that intro, but
I was going to say no.
Yeah.
I thought I sent that through.
That's kind of the premise of the whole policy,
Ensuring. Yeah. And because that are almost every single.
Well, no, you're right. That is the intent of the whole entire thing.
Right.
So that gets moved out.
So I think then you're kind of giving them.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Go back without doing sets.
They have to restate.
So when I read this, I just had one other question, which may be ridiculous. I allow for that. So you have a community member who's denied a permit or for whatever reason. Is there an appeal process? And are they, is it cut and dried and stuff?
There's not an appeal process. We haven't really had that. Usually it's when somebody else has it reserved. We have a frame of time frame for general reservations.
Right.
So we have a time frame within there, and then we haven't had the need for it.
Like, you haven't had 4th of July people come in and say, we're going to go to Marius Young and we want to sell fireworks in the park.
No, it would, yeah, no.
You would deny that.
We would deny that. Yeah. right?
John meltdown.
But you're saying that this doesn't come up.
We're not done yet. So you can think of multiple.
Lit that place on fire.
I'm giving, so we start talking about an appeal process. We're talking about a much larger process.
Yes.
That actually should be defined by the city because, you know, hey, I've got a buddy on council. I'm going to give her a call. Some has been the appeal process.
It's essentially what now would go to the city manager. An example of something that I can think of two different things. A person who wants to rent a shelter, the only way they're going to get denied is if we have camps there or there's somebody to serve. That's what they're going to. When you're talking about a special event, which all of those things that you've mentioned are a run.
Yeah.
Those could be denied based from what you're going to see, which I sent out my first scribblings on. And that's, you know, police would say, no, we don't have the staff to manage that. Public Works would be, no, we can't. That closes off an artery that we can't have closed. Those are the things that are denial. And then they can then, that actually happened with the Willamette Street Fair. They wanted to have us manage closing it off. The Parks Department couldn't do it anymore. And then they went through their process for permitting and they weren't able to do all that they wanted. They got to a yes, what was possible. So that's going to be where your appeal may be is if there's a special event that somebody's asking for, and that would have to go above us anyway.
And bigger than I recognize that my question about appeals is like a big, big basket.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
It's a big basket. And something we may want to think about down the road.
Yeah, and I think too, if it becomes an issue, right? It hasn't, we haven't had any yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't. And our biggest.
It's not an issue until it is.
Yeah, it is correct. And I don't know, I haven't seen a city that has a process for an appeal for this, but we can, I can investigate that.
We don't have to right now. I just.
Work down tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, but it's something to consider. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But if we have a clear policy, it kind of shows what we allow and don't allow. And then if there's something further, we can go to city council or to council. Is there options right now?
Oh, good.
Yeah, if they get outside the box, I like it.
So I know that our role is to advise on this, not to approve it for you.
Yes.
Are there any other questions or thoughts or concerns on this?
No, I just want to thank you for all the time and hard work.
Well, I'm sorry. Once I sit down, I can get going on it pretty quick, but it's getting some like weird time. But what I was like to do is maybe send it to you one again, just because I know it's here. If you would like that, I don't want to push it through. If you want to have a chance to look through the few edits I had, I'm happy to send it to you and kind of get your final okay in September, which is fine by me. If that would feel better.
Do you want that or are you comfortable with where it's at?
I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable.
Sure. Yeah. I'll just make the tweaks and send it to everybody so you have the final copy and we'll just send it from there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Again, thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome job.
Okay, well, it's been, well, it dives into kind of like what Stacey had said. It opens up a whole bunch of other cans of worms. You're like, so I need to think about that. So it's actually been a really good process. The other one that was included that we don't have to talk about today, I was going to bring it to another one, but I already got it started, was a special event policy, which I didn't even realize that we had a full policy on it.
There is.
So in your email, I included the original policy and then I took the format of this one. Again, I'll get all the headers on, which make it look like a formal one, but I took this format that was very readable, I thought, and then took our special event and took our application that has been updated over the years and blended the two together. We came up with a new updated policy that I will bring to you. I have
those copies.
These are copies.
Oh, yes.
Do you want us to read it now or talk about it in September?
I allow to your guys'. So whatever you would like.
This is the same one that you sent out.
It's on.
I'm good with it.
You were great. Okay. That sounds good. I can move forward that again. I'll send them linked together. If something happens, we can always make a tweak and change. That's why I don't put dollar amounts or anything in there specifically. So it's kind of the overall view. This one, just as a heads up, I think I alluded to that before, but currently we're the housekeeper of special event permits. So they come to Tara, it's actually Tara. She receives them for whatever it may be. And when I got here, we started getting formalized our process. Oh, here, I just want to see that.
The change.
You can have it. Well, the change is, that's totally different than the original one
here. Oh, yeah, that's.
That's okay. The original one. It's not even, I took it and morphed it.
I just have to say, thank you. Like, I have to do that every year. Anyway.
Well, once you get a template, it works easy.
Yeah.
But when it was.
process that we're going to be updating is simply the application, but also the checkoff and sign off process. Because we can only manage what is at the parks, we shouldn't be approving what's road closures and public works and people fire. So we've already had several meetings on special events and starting to get that. Then that's extra steps for us to do, but it is so important for emergency preparedness as far as staff. Because even if, so say the fair, even if it wasn't our fair, police would have to staff up for that event to be prepared if something were to go wrong. Protests, even just like a large festival somewhere else, they have to staff up, fire needs to know. So that's what I'm starting to work on over time as we get. We do get quite a few special event permits for runs. But the one question for the other to ponder is right now, special event permits are set at 300 people.
Yeah.
And none of our parks, except for if you are at Willamette, really can house that many people in one space. You see what we do in Marriott Sound, that's pushing it. We have that many people at one time. So I was looking at what if all it would do was, would mean that you wouldn't allow 300 people. It just put the marker a little bit lower. And Chris had recommended 150 to 200.
Yeah.
I think.
I have a question about that.
Yeah, by all means.
The middle schools, Westmont, Rosemont Ridge and 8th Creek, their cross country teams have a meeting. High school runs for them. High school guys run for them. And before it was like, you know, we didn't fill out any forms.
And we didn't know you were showing up.
No. She did, because I would talk to them and say, because we would have to talk to the soccer guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I mean.
At Marriott Sound, and they use the trails.
Yeah.
To do the runs. Now that's, you know, usually there's a couple others, you know, usually there's like four middle schools and parents to come watch. That fills the park up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of parking into the area and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, people in charge always before, I say, Ken, hey, we're doing this.
I know.
And he says, you know, yeah, just don't light any fires, you know, and away we go. So.
Yeah.
So what would change with the special event stuff for now?
You.
I can tell the coach at.
Yeah.
8th Creek.
Yeah.
And at Rosemont Ridge, what they need to do.
Yes.
Step that up. I mean, we volunteer our high school guys to run it.
My kid was part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
What's going to change with this?
Well.
Will anything change for when we do that?
Well, so what we've asked for already, because it didn't happen last year, we didn't have the dates of when it was occurring. And so we would be notifying our other renter users. So if we, when we get the knowledge that it's actually happening, then we make sure it has to be, we have this field available first. So that's part of this. So when we get the information, it tells us how many people are anticipating, what you're planning on bringing, if you're having music in mind. So, well, I'm just throwing all those things out, right? You have to think of your, we're going to do this with large soccer tournaments too. A baseball tournament that only has two, if we have two fields and it has four teams playing, that's not necessarily a special event. But this is when you have to meet all the markers. And
yeah.
I don't know that cross country does. It has to be able to, it's listed of all the ones, anticipate over 150 people, yeah. Includes activities, alters, restricts, interferes with general public use of the park. And that's on an athletic field, so that may not hit that. Involves street closures, disruption of vehicular traffic. If you're running across roads, that could. Amplified sound, music stage fences, temporary structures, food of sale or alcohol. Requires staff support or resources, like additionally, if we had to either staff it or poses increased safety or liability or environmental risk.
See, we set our race so that we don't go across.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? So the more than likely it wouldn't fit this, even just because it's 150, you know, that would be the thing that we would weigh in. And that's where, so apply to you guys and.
But one time, I mean, if I didn't forget just the last few years, by the time you had the parents that come, there's schools that are coming, you know, there's buses in the parking lot.
Kids.
Do we have more than 150 people there?
Oh, no, well, it happened last time, we didn't know it was coming. And then we had Portland Forest School there. So we had that taking up all those bus spaces. We had Down to Earth there with all their bus spaces. And then we had the four. So then when we got notified, when we got down there, there was hardly parking with the buses. No, so that was, we didn't know it was occurring. So that's what we're trying to make sure that we're being proactive to let people know.
Well, those guys, I mean, the guys at Rosemont Ridge did it. They let us know like 2 weeks before.
Yes.
And we were like.
Totally get that, because I know it's not, that's the coordination, that's what we're trying to work on.
You need to tell them, because they want to.
No, they're the ones that set it up.
We don't want high school meets there.
Yeah.
It's just not doable.
Oh, it's just, there's not enough parking spaces, yeah.
Well, there's not enough room on the trails to run the kind of high school meets that we have.
Well, but the thing is, we don't have enough parking to accommodate even the six fields.
For the, you know, for the middle school thing, I think it's fine. We just help run it, but we don't set it up. So they need to know what they have to do.
Well, there used to be a time where you would have one participant for one car, and now it's only average of three. Because it's after school, you have mom and dad driving separate and grandparents coming. So when you're looking at your capacity.
Oh, it's a lot of.
We are various times, the fields that were built were not such a proportion. So we're having issues, people driving up right now. We had a rugby tournament 2 weekends ago where I got notified from Mark Lane people that they had driven up the trail that runs along Mark Lane, and they had trucks and tents lined up all along there. So as people were walking through the trail system, cars were coming in and out of that area. They're parking as you go down, as you come into the park and you have the fields on your right, they're parking on the left-hand side of jumping the curb. And so they're backing out. I'm working with Public Works and making signage, but that's where we're having actually a safety issue with the overcapacity of the park. So part of this is just that understanding who's there and what's permitted. And then also we have somebody who wants to take the whole park up for Saturday. We got our volunteers coming, so we can let our volunteers know there's going to be limited parking, or they take the, you know, they have an event coming. 100%. Yeah, it's a lot to coordinate. It really happens at various times as our main issue, and then of course abandonment.
Yeah.
Like, we actually are no longer reserving the wetland shelter that's closest to Bernard Landing, because we could never ever have any chance for parking when a softball tournament was going. There's just no, so we just left that as a first come, first serve. And then and not just softball, like if the river's flowing and everybody's out there, there's no parking. Yeah. So trying to look at that balance of customer service and also not making a safety issue.
Right.
So yeah, no, this is perfect. We like having you there, so don't stop being there. But what we're trying to do is, again, knowing it's a school district that we need to communicate with is really good. And what we'll do is we'll email the coach too, the head coach.
Yeah, so
he's really great.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're doing the same thing with soccer. They have a 400 team tournament that we found out that we were included in, and we didn't understand what it was till last year. And we're not allowing that many people on. They can come, but they only have X amount of fields they can use. They can't use the whole three tiers because we don't have, because any one team on a tournament, right? One field has two teams on it and two teams coming behind it. So if you have even four fields, you do the multiplication. And if you have six fields,
yeah.
So it's four. I mean, you don't have that many of parking at all.
Yeah, no, I've been in Marysham before where they want to park all along the road.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Okay. And so there's no way a fire truck
can
even down the road.
No. So we're changing the signs. They're getting printed where the signs are now. And we're able just, there was no ordinance to monitor. There was no court enforcement allowed for painted markings. So where that just got changed with police too. Yeah, so that was a new one. So but we walked through with Public Works, so they help us with those signage to look at what you can see and not see. I took a whole video. And my youngest in the car videotaping walking down because you can't see it till like, so I was paying attention to this and I could not see the signage because I'm watching kids run across and you can't let your kid out. So how do you get people who are coming in who are not familiar with the park to see the signage, to see what you can do? Because all it takes is one car to start and then everybody follows you. Yep. And then not having the ordinance on there for the parking requirements doesn't allow police to be able to do enforcement. So I talked to the police that we get the signage on so they can start when they are able to, if there's a real serious issue to get down there to enforce. It's working on it. But yeah, so but this is like, this is not to inhibit, but it's just that notification. So that's where Tara will work through that with Jay. And Jay's the coach, right?
Well, Jay's the coach.
I know, but we'll talk with him too.
I mean, you need to talk to, I think,
middle school.
Dance. Oh, middle school, excuse me. Yes.
It's middle school. So that's, you know, that's the, well, we're going to be the cross-country coaches, I imagine, the same ones, but I don't know.
Eighth Creek and Rosemont, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think just Rosemont,
Rosemont usually, Rosemont is the one that does the
host, right?
So.
This is perfect. Look at the things I'm learning to use.
So you're going to want to talk to that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We want you guys to have, we want them to have the fields. Yeah.
Maybe
the field, right?
Well, that's just one day. It's kind of, but there are a lot of people.
It's a beautiful day. It's so much fun.
It is.
And that's not an easy course, but it's slowing.
No, it's really hilly because the way we keep it. I mean, when we used to run high school meets there, we would cross the roads a couple of places because we'd run big loops in the park and we'd cross the roads. And if you think about running across the road, as people come in, they come off 43. They're not going 75.
No.
And so if you've got runners coming through, sometimes then if there's a big group of runners, then that road gets blocked for a long period. And so then you've got guys backed up into 43. And it becomes a real sort of hassle.
It's kind of been a real fast when they hit that first.
I just along these lines, I live in between Hills Bridge Park and Swiftshore Swimming Hole.
Oh my goodness.
I live right in between those. And I might be only one in Willamette. I think I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, they changed all of the road and it used to be big, big baseball tournaments. It would just clog. It would just stop.
Oh, Willamette Park.
Willamette Falls Drive, right? This is at Fields Bridge.
Shields Bridge, yeah.
That's the baseball, serious baseball park. And there was a huge tournament this week. And whether it's Sunday or whatever. And I came through and it was amazing. Not a single car on the street because there was no place to park. It was totally safe. It's like, whoa, this really works. And I looked down and they all parked up along 80 Creek. They filled the 80 Creek parking lot.
Yeah.
And
nice to have that.
It was seriously safe. And I looked down and there were so many teams, you know, the same thing, warming up. And it was just, it was so orchestrated, but everything worked. And you know,
one of the keys is to have people in that organization in charge of the park so that, you know, if you have a big, even when we have, even when we have the middle school meet there, high school guys come to run, but we don't deal with the parking. But it's nice to have a bunch of people, you know, with like vests on or something like that. They're saying, this parking lot is full. You've got to go to this parking lot. You can't park here.
That's,
and then it moves things.
We might find that store special event, like big ones.
Like buses. You don't want buses to stay there. The buses like to stay there, but they'll be there for 3 or 4 hours and they fill up a time.
That was going to happen that day when I came down there.
So that, you know, with a lot of places to do that, they talk to the buses and say, go park at the high school or go park someplace else. So they're not in the park.
Well, it was just, you know, I've lived there forever. And I love kids. I love any sports. You know, it doesn't really bother me that, you know, it would clog up the road. But it's just been such a different experience with the park improvements. And it was just beautifully orchestrated. I will also say the amount of foot traffic down to the Swiftshore swimming hole. If you've never been down there, you know, you walk back in, looks like you're walking, you know, it's like there's no parking anywhere. It's supposed to be a, you know, very small thing.
Neighborhood.
Little neighborhood thing. And kids, it's just been walking in. It's so used and all of the kids are being really good. You know, there have been years where it's like, oh my gosh. And the police will go down there. It's like, because you have to, you know, fight down. But I have to say, those are two that historically we've had problems with. And it doesn't really bother me as kids are screaming, I'm happy. But it's kind of nice. You know, the kids now just like walk in because there isn't any parking and they've all been incredibly polite and good. And the baseball teams, it's like, hey, this is Are there any other observations or things that you'd like to share?
I don't know when they got installed. There's a good safety thing at Marietta, the new split rail fencing.
Yes.
At the dog park where the kids run across the field and then run across the street to go to the athletic fields. And now they're shut down on that little pathway.
So that was things we had. So we're doing walkthroughs with all of our friends groups. We walked through with the Friends of Marietta and that was one that came up. And so they're going to help us terrace gating some signs that say restoration of progress, even though there's no restoration currently, but that we'll be working with them to replant that area so that it really does, and then putting signs, you know, to get slippers to the other side.
Crosswalk.
We walk through the crosswalk.
Yeah, well, the hard, I mean, let's just be honest, it's hard where the crosswalk is, like on the opposite side, but it's because so great to have a partnership with Public Works. And they came through and I said, can we add a crosswalk, even though it's not ADA accessible, it's just a crossing, and they said, you can't legally do that.
Yeah.
So that is why we did that, you know, cross that area, and then where people are walking across will want to plant that too. I mean, I get it, you're running late and then park in the parking lot and they try to take the shortest route, so that was our.
100 feet out of your way, that, or whatever.
It is, right, it's not the easiest, so, and we're also putting signage at the entrance, you know, not enough to overpollute signage, but just to say designated parking, and no parking only in designated spaces. Well, it's just, it's really for safety more than anything.
For sure.
Well, off the agenda of safety at Marriott's Young, last week when I was there, there's, across from the dog park, when you go down the main trail, the paved trail down to the river, can't remember what that trail's called, and there's the book bags and the big display board, and there's, I have a picture of it, there's a big concrete protrusion where I think a pole was years ago, okay, and I saw a lady trip over it, because it's not marked, it's probably painted.
Public ground, it's probably ground out of the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, I'll send you this picture, if you could, I have a picture of it, and I saw a lady trip.
That is on the app, it's really helpful. The app is really helpful too.
Oh, yeah, should have, I didn't think about that.
If you think about it, it's really helpful.
Yeah.
Are there any other things that anybody on the board want to bring up?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so Tara isn't here, but we have big stuff, who's going to the fair?
Come on, we have the fair this weekend. I'm so disappointed, because I wanted to work at it, and so I signed up for pie eating. But my mom changed her flight, my 91-year-old mom was coming up to stay with us.
My gosh.
She changed her flight to an earlier hour, so it conflicts at that time, so I can't. But we're going tomorrow.
You didn't tell her, just Uber?
Yes, Uber. My wonderful lady, yeah.
Can I go on music starts in 24?
Maybe, yeah.
That's good.
One thing, I think, Tara, did you talk about the ambassador program, there was an article in the Tidy about it that we had, one thing that didn't really highlight it is part of the reason why we took a pause on it is before getting the attendance of people submitting to be a part of the program. So it's just kind of a little bit of a timed out, we interviewed all of the previous, courts to kind of talk about what they really wanted out of the program, what they were seeking, and we were trying to figure out how currently was meeting our missions and goals and the amount of time it was taking to support what it was. So it wasn't penciling out, and so we're looking at pausing the program to see what we could revamp that's actually a city initiative, because it started as a volunteer initiative within the community. It went up to another person, and I think it was a different department who started running it, and it landed at ours, and again, it wasn't meeting, it was a lot of work. And we weren't getting the interest of very many people from each year, so that's why we took a pause, so we're doing for the Old Town Fair is the Weston Historical Society is going to be kicking off the fair in their costumes with the historical baseball, so kind of getting back to old time, and that's what Alyssa is trying to do more of that for next year.
Nice.
So that will be, it'll be missed, but at the same time, it's just time to revamp.
I'm not sure it's going to be missed.
I mean, if we could create a program, but it would take a lot more than just our department to make a really good, we have some ideas, I'm talking with the city manager about it, but it's going to take a full city and other nonprofits to really kick it off, and I think there's some great options, but you have to find out if there is a desire.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome. Well, this is a relatively short meeting, if there aren't any other input points, I don't think we have any action, we don't have any action items leaving, other than to be great advocates in our activities. And we take August off, so our next meeting is until September 11th. And I would anticipate you historically September, October, November.
I'll see you.
While you are robust meeting.
While you're sneezing.
Megan, I was just asking, tell everybody, Carol Brick at the last council meeting, brought up an interesting idea, just for thought,
about parks have, each park having a docent. You know, someone that was easily identifiable. So kind of think about that. That was a real interesting idea, I thought. She's, you know, people are talking about code enforcement, you know, my favorite dogs off leash, blah, blah, blah. Someone that was trained to interact with people, blah, blah, blah. A docent for a park. I thought it was an interesting idea. I had, you've probably heard of that before.
I have, yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
They had a bigger staff, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's a volunteer.
Volunteer. Volunteer.
Yes.
Volunteer docent.
Yeah, I hope we volunteer, but we need that. Tara's our current volunteer.
Yeah, no, not for now.
No, 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 but for future.
But just kind of think about that.
100%.
Be aware of it.
No, I think it'd be a really good, if we had people who were interested in that, but of course support it.
Yes, yeah. Well, it wouldn't, they would need to be trained. So that's where the time comes in. I just wanted to bring that.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, I have one idea. If you, yes, I'm still here. Hi, everyone. I remember you guys talking about how you used to have name tags. If anyone's interested in like a hat or something, I've been talking with Kathy Molesky about getting myself city council with my name on it and all of the counselors that. But I think if you guys wanted parks board stuff, that would be appropriate. So we can talk about that in September.
We did name tags 4 years ago, but I'd like a t-shirt.
Yeah, seems reasonable. We can figure that out.
We got t-shirts.
Your husband will take t-shirts, will take fleece.
So he, you know, Jack. Reasonable. I've been caught reasonable twice tonight.
I don't want t-shirts. So if we don't have anything else, I suggest we close the meeting if we want to turn off our recorder. And.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye, Simon. Thank you.
Can I get your t-shirt?